So let's turn our attention to the scriptures as Sarah Jane brings us our New Testament reading, which coincidentally, and bringing absolutely no pressure, is this morning's reading at Keswick.
The reading is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 16, page 1146 in the Pew Bibles. Building that lasts. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? Amen.
And today we're not so much thinking about what we build on, but what we build from. The last line of that reading we heard was, God's Spirit lives among you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will speak into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds on this morning when we're on the cusp of something new and something different and something unknown. And we pray that you will speak into our lives out of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Little quiz. Here's some texts, some verses from the Bible. And I want you to tell me what they have in common. And it's not the book of the Bible, because the book of each of these is given for you. So, just... And you're not allowed to reference anything either as we do this. So put your phones away. Put your U-Bibles, U-Version Bibles, turn it off. Let's see what we have here. Moses, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. With that verse begins the story of the Exodus. Or from 1 Samuel, Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. And Samuel answered, here I am. And from Matthew, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. And from Luke, John answered them all, that's John the Baptist, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And from Ephesians, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. from Galatians, or is it Colossians? Colossians, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And from the first letter of John, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So, what do those verses have in common? And it's nothing spiritual or theological. Well, let me read another one in the series. This might give it away. Aha! For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yes, that's absolutely right. They are all chapter 3, verse 16. If you want to start memorizing some verses, that's not a bad place to start. Go for some of the 3:16s. At least you'll remember one bit straight away, the reference. And of course, the verse we heard this morning. I mean, these are all, actually, when you read them, they're all about moving on in faith. They're about building up the people of God. And the verse that we've heard this morning, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? Some translations say, among you. Others say, the Spirit of God lives in you. You there is plural, so among you is probably correct, but in you is correct too. And I think this is really important as we are where we are. Here's a plan, an architect's plan of what we're aiming for in the refurbishment of this place. Next time you come in, it's going to look rather different. Not completely different. The pillars will still be here. The balcony will still be here. But lots of other stuff won't be and will have changed. And we're in a process of doing refurbishment here. But I don't want to come back in here in November or December, whenever it is. Great, the faith is being expressed here by Helen. It's November, so that's going to be right. But I don't want to come back in here the same as I am and the same as we are. I believe God is calling us to a process during these next few months. And the process is refurbishment among us and in us. Among us and in us. God is taking us out of our usual setting, taking us out of one of our comfort zones, is taking us somewhere else to worship, is throwing lots of things up in the air, and is saying, I am with you. And I'm going to be with you every day, all the way through this. But you need to trust me. You need to put your faith in me. And there are three things in this passage that speak to me of what we need to do. And indeed, when I'm preaching, when we get to Whitley Bay High School, I'm going to be talking on the series is going to be called Refurb. And we're going to be thinking about what it means for the refurbishment of our spiritual lives. And how, as we relate to God, we need refurbishment, and as we relate to one another. That little video clip focused on foundations. And the foundation is really important for us in what we're building together. And I do not just mean a building. Paul is quite clear in this passage. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our foundation. He's our foundation for every part of our faith and its expression. He reveals to us the love of God. He reveals to us the character of God. He says, let me walk with you. Let me equip you. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. Foundations are really important. There are plenty of examples of not terribly good foundations. Some are so beautiful that they are protected as World Heritage Sites, and others are just building disasters. Unsafe buildings, because the proper foundations were not put in place. And our faith is based on Jesus Christ. Our worship is based on Jesus Christ. Our commitment to one another is based on Jesus Christ. Our call to serve the world is based on Jesus Christ. He's the foundation for everything. And if we start putting anything else in his place, we've lost it. There is no hope. There is no future. There is no purpose in building, frankly, what we call Christian faith and Christian life. We need the foundation that is Jesus. Each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then this passage also talks to us about the materials for building. Paul gives six examples of things that might be used in building. Now, of course, he is not talking literally here. He is using these things metaphorically. They're images of what he say, but he says you could build out of gold. You could build out of silver. You could build out of precious stones. Or you could build out of wood or straw. Or hay. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, straw, hay. I must admit at this point, whenever I read this passage, a bit of my childhood and junior choice kicks in. And I see the three little pigs, who of course, to protect themselves from the big bad wolf, tried to build out of sticks and straw and bricks. Bricks proving to be most effective. But what this passage says to us is, what will last through fire? The great fear in the days of Jesus, and indeed still, I suppose, a great fear, but especially in the days when buildings were built out of things like straw, wood, mud. The fear of fire was a very, very real fear. After all, the home was not only just the home, but it was the place where the animals were kept on which you depended for your livelihood, perhaps, the place where you did your business from. So easily, life could be changed irreparably by a fire. And Paul says, think of the effects of fire on the materials you're building with. There are some things that will still be essentially what they are the other side of a fire. Gold may be reshaped by the fire, but it will still be the same amount and quality of gold after the fire. The same with silver. The same too with most precious stones. In fact, fire can cause some precious stones to develop a luster, a glow, a shine, which they never had naturally. There's something which the fire brings out of them. But we know what happens to wood and straw and hay when there's fire. And Paul says, think about the materials you're building with. What are the materials you're taking? Are they straw and wood and hay or their equivalent? Or are they gold and silver and precious stones? Are they those things that will last? And I don't know why, it's just never occurred to me, but Paul talks in 1 Corinthians twice about things lasting, remaining. At the end of 1 Corinthians 13, the great passage on love, he says, now these three remain, faith and hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, love. These things remain. What are we building our life on? What are we building our life around? What are we building our church on? What are we building our church around? Are we building with the gold of faith and the silver of hope and the precious stone of love? The things that when the testing times come, when the fire comes, when the difficulties come, will not burn. And it's very interesting how Paul here says, even if what you've been using to build with does burn up, if you've been using wood or straw or hay or whatever, you will suffer loss. But, and he's talking to Christian people here, he says, but you will still be saved. Even if you've got a lot wrong, you'll still be saved. Though even though only as one escaping the flames. Why? Because if you have invited Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and your Saviour, there is gold and silver and precious stone within you. It is what God has set within you. And it will not all be burned up. It will not all disappear into a pile of ashes that blow away with the wind. There is something which remains. And although a lot of our attention has been on these bricks and the mortar and the wood and the way we're going to change the interior of this place and put new heating in and chairs and all that sort of stuff, what really matters to God is our faith and our hope and our love and how we live that out with one another. So the materials are really important. Getting the materials right are really important. Focusing on those things are really important. And it's not just a case of hoping that God will somehow do it. We have to consciously work with God. We have to say, I am going to have faith. I will hope. I will love. These things remain. And the third thing this passage speaks about is God's Spirit. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives among you. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? I believe that when we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we invite him to be our Lord and Saviour, his Spirit comes to dwell with us, and the whole potential of the Spirit's life is open to us. But the Spirit also operates between us. And the Spirit gives different gifts to each of us. And he wants those gifts all to be brought together and used for the building up of the kingdom of God, for its establishment. We're not all called to be evangelists. We're not all called to be healers. We're not all called to bring wisdom to situations. We're not all called to have discernment. We're not all gifted to those things and the many other things that we could list. But some are. And we gain our strength when the some become one. One body, Paul talks of. Sometimes we talk about church as if it's a bounded set. This is the Catholic and Reformation model. It's the model of Christendom. It's the model that says you define a circle, and people who sign up for a certain set of beliefs and practices are in the circle. And those who don't are outside the circle. Now, that circle can be drawn generously or it can be drawn meanly. But it means there's a clear line between those that are in and those that are out. The Reformation, of course, was 1500 years removed from Christ, as was the Catholic Church it was rebelling against. But I believe that Jesus calls us to a centered set approach to church. In other words, if anybody is walking towards Christ, they are my partner, they are my companion on the journey. And that may look like a very odd community, because I might find myself walking with people of very different nationalities and political persuasions. They might be straight, they might be gay. They might be male, they might be female. The issue is, are they walking towards Jesus? Are we walking towards him? Are we a community that will embrace anybody that is looking towards Jesus? We may differ about how that works out in practice, but Jesus never excluded, he included. And we live in a world full of people who need to be included and know that they matter to God. Because an awful lot of those who have no time for God and no time for the church will also tell you that if there is a God, he hates them. The concept of a God of love is one they do not understand. And we exist to say God is love. And you might say, oh, well, just a minute, some of the people you just talked about, they're sinners, we shouldn't be walking with them. Well, this is where it gets messy. But life in the Holy Spirit is always messy. That's why people never like revivals when they come, because they're always messy. The Holy Spirit is messy. You see, the Holy Spirit is with us, constantly trying to persuade us that God is our Creator and that Jesus is our Redeemer and that He wants to equip us so that we're able to follow Jesus. And we might say, but just a minute, they need to repent of this or that or the other. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to reach some level of perfection before he said he would die for us. While we were yet sinners. Hands up the people who are not sinners here this morning. Oh, funny, nobody's put their hand up. So we together are moving towards God and we're seeking His will and we're seeking the release of the Spirit's gifts. We need that kind of renewal. We need that kind of refurbishment in the people of God that are called Whitley Bay Baptist Church, as well as a refurbishment of the premises. And we need to allow the Spirit's fruit to grow. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, those things are not just poured out on individuals, some being patient, some being joyful, some being loving. They are the fruit of the presence of the Spirit and should be evident in every Christian life. And we're to encourage those things in one another. That's what it means to have refurbishment among us and in us. As we go into this time, which I'm almost inclined to say call a wilderness time, though I pray that it won't be a wilderness, because I pray that it will be a time of abundance. But my prayer is very much, God, I just pray for the refurbishment of the building, but even more, I pray for the refurbishment of your church and my renewal. Don't you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? Jesus, the big message for which he died really was the message that the temple, the holy place at the center of Jewish faith, didn't matter anymore. And there was nothing more heretical, more out there than could ever be said than the temple doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because Jesus says, you are the temple. You are the place of worship. You are the place of service. You are the place of compassion. You are the place of meeting the spiritual needs of the world. God's Spirit lives among you. Let's seek His Spirit together. Amen.